There have been some requests, apparently, for spending a little time in the tour of T&P. So after we have the Ranger film this morning, there'll be about a 10 or 15 minute break, and those who are interested in a T&P tour, assemble yourselves over under the Ranger sign, and we'll pick you up there for the tour. Remember one thing, do not handle anything in there or touch. We have extremely expensive and valuable machinery. We do not want, if you bring any children around there and you do not watch them, we'll just whack their hands right off and you'll be mortally offended. But they'll learn not to touch pictures, not to touch anything. And if you haven't trained your children, don't even think of bringing them into T&P. In fact, I have a sign out there, no children. That's a working organization and not a nursery. So we don't let children in there. They don't understand. They don't appreciate the machinery. But a lot of you want to have a tour of T&P, and we're just glad to have you. We're glad that you have children, too. But we've got the nursery and other places for them. Unfortunately, we live in a generation when there's been a lot of permissiveness. When you have had the experience of people coming into your home, a little Johnny breaks the bric-a-brac right in front of your eyes. His mother says, "No, no, little Johnny." At which point you want to get up and kick in the gluteus maximus, the child, the parent, the works. And some of you are the smartest parents I've ever seen, but we just can't count on 100% there at any time when we're taking a tour of T&P. Well, let's be warned, this is not a tour for children, period. And no babies. No babies there. We've allowed one baby in there, which is a very well-behaved baby, and that's the only one we've ever permitted. I think Balderdash has been in T&P, and that's about it. Now, we're going to button up the stages of reversionism before we go into our film. There will be a short break after the stages of reversionism in order to set up the screen. And first of all, now we've had stage one. Stage one of reversionism. Reaction. That's your stage one, and we've noticed already the presence of reactor factors in the life include discouragement, disillusion, boredom, self-pity, inability to handle loneliness, frustration, mental attitude sins such as jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, implacability, Operation Vengeance, the attempt to build your happiness on someone else's unhappiness, being dear Johned, jilted, phased out. These reactor factors combine difficulties in the life with indifference and result in throwing Bible doctrine away as trash. Stage two, frantic search for happiness. Depending upon the trend in your old sin nature, trend toward asceticism, trend toward lasciviousness. The reaction to reactor factors leads to the frantic search for happiness. This frantic search for happiness follows the trend of the old sin nature. The trend toward asceticism leads to legalistic, victorious living, super experiences, Operation Holy Rollers. The trend toward lasciviousness leads to drunkenness, debauchery, chasing, and so on. The third stage is the intensification of reversionism, Operation Boomerang. The fourth stage now is the emotional revolt of the soul. We have in the soul self-consciousness, mentality. It's the right lobe especially that is important. Emotion, the conscience is up here in the right lobe. And, of course, the old sin nature is always involved. Now, under this stage, the emotion of the soul is designed to respond to the heart or the right lobe. And when it does not, we have the problem of women becoming manly and men becoming feminine. The fifth, then, is where we stop. Now we resume number 5. Stage 5 is negative volition toward doctrine. As a result of the presence of the reactor factors, frantic search for happiness, emotional revolt, the believer becomes negative toward doctrine. And this negative volition is what we have been studying in verse 35, the throwing away of doctrine as you would throw away trash. There are certain characteristics. One, indifference or apathy to Bible teaching. Two, too busy for Bible teaching. Three, antagonism or personality hang-ups regarding the pastor communicator. Four, antagonism or conflict with others in the congregation. Five, failure to utilize the rebound technique. Six, inability to handle prosperity. Seven, an early pattern of reversionism. Now let's put it all together up to this point. Let's take the emotion. When a person has an emotional revolt, this means that they are a woman inside. A man becomes a woman inside. You see, just as every human body has both male and female hormones, so the soul has male and female parts. The controller of the soul is the heart or the right lobe, the mentality. You are only in control in your life when your mind controls everything. Now, we all have emotion. We all have emotion, and we use our emotion. That's because we have a frame of reference. For example, in my frame of reference is football. When I see a great run, when I see a linebacker knocking them down, when I see men hit, and they're hit so hard or blocked so hard they can't get up, I get it an ecstatic experience. When I hear good music, like the Eyes of Texas, or Dog Face Soldier, or Dixie, I get ecstatic. When I see a beautiful southern lady, I get ecstatic. Now, other people like Beethoven and Brahms and things of this sort, that's all right. But the point is, we all have a frame of reference. And our frame of reference means that our emotion is merely designed to respond. So in the normal male or female, the arrow goes this way. Now, this means that when we see a review, when we see a uniform, when we see our flag, when we hear certain kinds of music, we respond in our emotions. And our emotions were made to be enjoyed. But the emotion is no good unless the arrow goes this way. And if the arrow goes up this way, then you have a long-haired hippie. You have an effeminate type person. You have a person that's standing around who thinks he's so wonderful, he's standing around waiting for the girls to all invite him out instead of being aggressive where women are concerned. And this is what we've had in this country. This is why it is so difficult to turn men into soldiers. This is why authority and discipline have been a problem, because so many men have gone into the army who aren't men, pardon me, they are males. They are the male of the species, but because they're in emotional revolt, they are simply effeminate. They are not manly. They do not respect authority. They can't take the training. They haven't got the mental attitude for it. They assume that the world owes them a living. They go into shock when someone blows a whistle and says, "I want to see 40 statues outside this barracks." And the army and all of the service today are supposed to have racial problems. There's no such thing as a racial problem. The color of a man's skin has nothing to do with his ability to be a soldier. It has to do with his soul. And there is no racial problem today. There never was. There's no racial problem in this country. It's just too many people in emotional revolt. There's no such thing as a racial problem. I don't care what color a man's skin is. I don't care whether he's got a yellow skin because he's a xanthoderm, he's a Chinaman, or whether he has a black skin, or whether he has a green skin, like a ranger on patrol. There's no such thing as a racial problem. The problem is that we have emotional revolt of the soul. And the reason we have emotional revolt of the soul is because the very principles of doctrine that you've been getting all this time are no longer generally taught in this country. And when the arrow goes this way, you have white trash. When the arrow goes up, you have some black walking around with his hand out and claiming that the world owes him a living. But when you have the arrow going this way, it's a red man, or it's a yellow man, or it's a black man, or it's a white man, and he's a man. And he does his job like a man, and he's good. And that's where the problem is. The services have rap sessions. They make you sick just thinking about them. I know one lieutenant, when he has a rap session with his platoon, he's going to teach him the soul. He's going to teach him emotional revolt. Let me tell you something. When I first grew up in California, they had second generation Japs. They were great. And they took these people and threw them out and dumped them into camps and called them the enemy. And a lot of them, I know a lot of them, they got their draft notices when they were in camps. I want to tell you something. Those Japs made the finest, so they're not Japs and they don't have yellow skins to me. They were great soldiers. Great. And when they were turned loose in Italy, they did a phenomenal job. And the Nisi Battalion is one that I've always admired. And I want to tell you something. If I were going in combat and commanding troops, I don't care about the skin, but I care about the soul. And it's the soul that counts. Now, when a black man or a yellow man or a white man, especially the white man, he gets awful obnoxious when the arrow goes this way. That's the trouble. The arrow's going the wrong way. That's called emotional revolt, and that is the stage of reversionism we have here. We have the stage of reversionism. It's called negative volition, but the one before that is emotional revolt. And emotional revolt is why we have holy rollers. It's why we have people beating tambourines. It's why we have people making asses out of themselves and instead using the name of the Lord. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Well, you want to go up and slug him. Jesus Christ is the God-man, the only Savior. He's not some tittering emotional revolt comment. And with women, it's the worst thing in the world. You ever see a woman's lib? I'll tell you, one thing I love about the South Baraka Church, there are ladies here, only ladies, Southern ladies, and all ages, but they all look great to me. Why? Because the arrow's going the right way. But you get the arrow going the other way, and you get one horsey female in any church, you're going to blow it up. One horsey female pushing her weight around, the pastor doesn't just escort her right out the door, that church has had it. One feisty, horsey female with the arrow going the wrong way, and you're in trouble. You get a general's wife who's a horsey female, and the whole division's in trouble. Battalion commander has a horsey wife for his wife is not a lady, she's a horsey female. Oh, is it miserable? Every party they ever have. And the poor ladies, and especially the wives of second lieutenants, they are up to their ears in trouble all the time. Bored to death, standing around with a frozen smile, wishing they could get the hell out of there, while some battalion commander's wife just bores them to death, puts them to work and all the rest of it. That emotional revolt is one of our biggest problems today. So that's the one that leads to throwing out as trash, as our passage says. Now, number 6 is blackout of the soul. There are two lobes. The left lobe is called the mind. The right lobe is called the heart. When you go negative toward doctrine, You open up the mataiotes. This is a vacuum. And into this vacuum goes your false ideas. Did you ever run into believers who were so-called conscientious objectors? There's no such thing. They're just yellow bellies or screwed up, as we say. One or the other. There's no such thing as a conscientious objector, because no one on the basis of the Bible can ever, ever, ever take the stand that they don't have the right and the privilege to go kill the enemy. That's wrong. And they shouldn't be putting the medics either. After all, when it's real bad, when you have a case of the piles and you go to the medics and some guy who's a conscientious objector sends you back to your outfit and you're an infantryman. That's rough. That's happened. I know of two cases where it happened. And I know in both cases where the medic was a conscientious objector and hated the army almost as much as the chaplain did, who was a Methodist chaplain. And ran it down at every chance. You can't have that kind of thing. So, what happens here? What happens to these people? How does a person accept Jesus Christ as Savior and then start talking against the military and start talking against warfare? How do they get fouled up? They get fouled up because they go negative toward doctrine. Doctrine keeps them straight and squared away. But once they go negative toward doctrine, then they start all this nonsense about love the enemies and turn the other cheek. You know when the turn the other cheek is going to be? When the millennium, when Christ rules. And the only way you should ever turn your other cheek is rolling with a punch and counterpunching. Now, it's Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars until I come. Now, here it is, right here. How do people get mixed up and get liberals? And why do people think that the being for the welfare state is patriotism when it's really communism? Why do people think that you shouldn't work and earn an honest wage and sit around and let someone take care of it? Why do people get mixed up? And why do believers get mixed up? Blackout of the soul. Where do all the false ideas come? Where do people get the idea? I remember when I was coaching, people had this goofy, goofy idea. Well, we just want our boys to play. We don't care whether it's win or lose. It's how they play the game. That's a lot of crap. Americans must be trained to win. 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 That's why we're here. We're here to win. And of all people, born-again believers, because you're on the winning side. You're a winner because Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father. You're a winner because you live in the Holy of Holies forever. You're a winner because you're in union with Christ. And the only way you can blow it is to lose a tactical victory temporarily. But the strategic victory is won. One of my favorite coaches in the congregation here, and he has a great, great attitude about winning. Those are the coaches I like. And we have a coach in our congregation, Tony Simpson, and he wrote a great article on winning, and the liberals crucified him. It isn't how you play the game. Oh, yes, it is. And you take this thing from football and go out in the military. And it isn't whether you win or lose against the communist Chinese and all those Asiatics that are all mixed up and hate us and the Ruskies. It's how you play the game, baloney. It isn't how you play the game, it's how many you kill, and it's winning, and it's unconditional surrender that counts. That's why you're free, because people had that attitude and understood it. Now, blackout of the soul is what happens to believers and unbelievers alike. Unbelievers because they lose track of the laws of divine establishment. Believers because they go negative toward doctrine. Our verse this morning said, don't throw away as trash doctrine. And the day you do, that vacuum is going to open up and you're going to become a bleeding heart liberal. You're going to be all mixed up. You're going to get involved in the so-called get involved movements of life, and you will be completely out of line and out of phase with the plan of God. And it's very embarrassing to have members of the royal family in retreat instead of pressing the attack. Now, this leads then to scar tissue of the soul. Negative volition toward doctrine opens the mataiotes for satanic propaganda. And once that satanic propaganda comes in, then you've had it. Now, on the other side of the fence here is the heart of the right lobe. On this side of the fence, once you get a blackout of the soul here by getting false information in there, false information that causes people to be anti-patriotic, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-doctrine, then on this side you have your next stage, which is hardness of the heart. Now, hardness of the heart means the valves on the frame of reference freeze. The doctrine, therefore, quits moving around. When these valves freeze, you lose your vocabulary, your categories, you lose your good norms and standards, you have human viewpoint on the launching pad, and that brings us to stage 7, scar tissue of the soul. And then you have finally stage 8, reverse process reversionism. Now, reverse process reversionism, as the 8th stage, looks like this. Whereas you ought to be occupied with a Christ as a believer and a member of the royal family of God, you're occupied with some idiotic false system, false God, and so on. Whereas you have a right woman, and as when you get into reversionism, you hook up with the wrong woman. Whereas you have true friends under the process, here are true friends, you get them mixed up with false friends, people who are flatterers and so on. Whereas you should love your country, USA, you get all fouled up and you think that the welfare state is Americanism when it's Ruskyism, communism, and so on. You think that all of those people over there who run down the American way of life after taking our money and everything else, and after we go over and bail them out, you think they're all right and USA is all wrong, we ought to have better understanding. That's reverse process reversionism. It comes up in many ways. I always like the one where we have this friend over here, Patakos, the beggar. And the beggar came to church, and the usher was a good friend of his. They were good friends. And the head usher, however, happened to be in reversionism. And so he put his friend, Patakos, under the seat. But when the rich man came in, you remember Goldfinger? He had all his rings were he had gold rings all over his fingers, said the Greek. He put Goldfinger up in the best pew. Okay? That's reverse process reversionism. There are many illustrations of it in the Word of God. All right, this brings us down then to the end of our study of verse 35. Now the next verse, verse 36, where we start tonight, is the exploitation of victory. We'll start tonight with verse 36, which is the exploitation of victory. Now, it's going to take us about 10 minutes in order to set up this screen so you can stand and stretch and so on. And then when we are finished with the film, and it will be the commentator will be Captain Howard. When we are finished with the film, then you will have 15 minutes to do whatever you have to do and step over to the T&P for the tour over there. So you can stand and stretch and relax for just a few moments while we set up for this film.